Welcome to episode number 10 of the Worship Drummer podcast. I'm your host, John Manna. Stick around. We've got a great episode coming your way. What is up, everybody? Hope you're all doing well. It's already November, and it's not that cold here up in Canada where I am in Toronto, which is very rare. Usually we're already with our winter jackets on. But anyhow, it's amazing how fast a year has come and is almost gone. This is episode 10, as we said already. We set out at the beginning of the year to record one episode for the podcast a month. And so obviously, if you do the math, it doesn't quite add up. But don't worry, we have an episode coming up with Daniel Hadaway. He's the drummer of All Sons and Daughters. And he also just released the Boom Click Bootcamp. And so we'll be talking with him in a week or two and have that episode ready. And then we have an open slot, which we do intend to fill. So why don't we do something a little different? If you have a guest in mind that you'd like us to interview that we haven't interviewed already in the first 9 episodes, why don't you just go ahead and send me an email. You can do that at john@worshipdrummer.com. John is J-O-N, there's no H. It's short for Jonathan. So John, and we'll see what we can do. And I think that might be a fun twist of events and change things up a bit for what we do on the Worship Drummer podcast. So I've purposefully left out today's guest until right now, just to build some suspense. I'm going to be interviewing Josh Fifelski, and it took me about a week to learn his name when I first met him back in February. But Josh is in the process of designing an incredible piece of technology that will, my hope is that it will enhance what we do as worship drummers. It doesn't break the budget, and it has huge potential in our worship environments. And so naturally I thought it would be great to interview him, pick his brain. And also, if maybe you have a bit of an entrepreneurial spirit in you and you have this edge to create and maybe to even start your own little startup company or business, we do ask and dive into that process a little bit with him. So definitely stay tuned for that part. But we also get into this product that he's developed called Dream Trigger. Maybe you follow them on Instagram or you've seen a post or two that we've done on our Instagram channel. I really believe in what Josh and his company are trying to do. And so that's why today I'm excited to share with you my chat with Josh Fifelski, the founder of Dream Trigger. Josh, welcome to the Worship Drummer podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me, John.
We're happy to have you. And so we just want to get to know you as well as the product you're busy creating. And so thanks for sitting in with us. But just to get started, tell me about how you started playing drums.
Yeah, sure. So, I guess I started playing drums. I grew up, I was the projector kid at my church, and the transparent slides and all that. they had to put it right next to the drummer, and I found that I just stared at him and just watching everything that he did, and how his hands moved. And I specifically remember his head bobbing. That was something that I remembered, and I don't know what. I mean, I just went home and I was like, I want to do this. And so I guess fast forward a couple years, and so I grew up homeschooled, which was in my time was kind of a new thing. And there wasn't a lot for us to do. And the homeschooled families like in the community got together and were like, hey, we're gonna make a band, like a trombones and flutes and all that kind of stuff. And
nice.
None of us had ever played. And I went into that thinking, our first meeting, going, I'm gonna play drums like no matter what. And the teacher walked in and was like, hey, we're going to do this audio test, and it's going to be like 20 questions, and Each question is going to be two different tones that are just off by a skosh. And all you got to do is tell which one's the higher pitch. And based on the score, we can put you in the right section. And so I was like freaked out. I was like, dude, I'm, you know, I want to play drums. I'm not letting this stupid test like get in the way. And so, I cheated. I waited for the test to be over, and then he went through, and I probably actually filled it out, but I do remember him after each question was like, all right, well, you know, ask the group, which one do you think is higher? Which one do you think is lower? And he's like, well, it's the second one that was higher. I was like, dude, no way. Like, he's giving me the answer. So I like wrote it down. And so after the test, he went around and the kids went, you know, all right, I got this score. I got that score. And, okay, you're trombone. You're going to be, you know, clarinet or whatever. Got to me and he's like, well, which score did you get? I was like, I got 100%. And he was like blown away. Like, he had never seen a person get 100%, and I was like, I guess I'm just, you know, made for this. And so he's like, all right, well, you know, what do you want to play? I'm like, no, the drums, of course. And so it's probably disappointing to him because he thought he had like a prodigy or something, you know. But I'm like, no, I want to hit stuff. So I actually haven't ever really told that story. I just told my wife that story the other day.
Nice.
Isn't it interesting? Like, I'm like, I've never, but for years, you know, whenever I like hit like a struggle with drums or like a plateau or whatever, I always like thought back to that moment of like, oh dude, I cheated. I wasn't made for this. Like, I, you know, I need to like confess to the world, like, guys, cheated on the test.
So, you know, well, here's your opportunity. Oh, that's so crazy.
I just stuck with it. I kept it my secret for until pretty much, you know, last week. So
and now we all know.
What's up? Now the world will know.
And now we all know. Yeah.
Yeah. So started playing at church a lot more, getting pretty good at that. And had an opportunity to go out to Bethel for their worship school. So I believe I went the year of 2009, I think.
Okay.
Matt Stinton, that was his class.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was. So I got to see him before he was who he was, and Michael Pope. I think there was another person that was, John Paul Gentile. I don't know if he's kind of a backup drummer kind of thing. But
okay.
Anyway, those guys, you know, all those guys got to play. And so I went in there thinking like, you know what, I'm not going to stay at Bethel. Like, I'm going to go home and bring everything I brought, you know, everything that I got at Bethel, I'm going to bring it back. It was funny because I started playing. They had like this band, like with Chris Kolala and what's his name? Oh, Jeff Kundi.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The Jesus Culture Jesus, band.
Basically Jesus Culture before they were like, you know, their own entity.
Yeah.
But we you know, you'd get in a band and you'd play like a song and then they just kind of judge you in a really good way. Like, you know, all right, hey, drummer, you did too many fills, guitarist, like simplify everything, you know. And there wasn't enough drummers to kind of go around to all the bands. So like I got to play several times. And then Chris asked me, he pulled me aside. And he's like, hey, man, you want to stay and come to ministry school? And I was like, what? So it kind of like, it was so hard to hear, like, I mean, because Chris is like a celebrity to me. And so I'm like, as a drummer, he's just phenomenal. And I'm like, there is no, I mean, I'm struggling real hard right now because I told myself and my family, like, no, nah, dude, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. And then Chris says one word and I'm like, whatever you want, dude. So, you know, at that point, I just basically, I was like, I had my time with the Lord and I said, you know, I said, listen, I'm calling the shots here. But I was like, listen, I want someone to tell me what to do because I'm not like, I don't want to float around. I don't want to, you know, be in rebellion or, you know, do any of this. Like, you know, I want to do what you want me to do. And I want someone to tell me what I need to do. And it was amazing because when we graduated, Jen Johnson, all the leadership prayed over us as we graduated and she prophesied over me. She said, you're coming to ministry school. She said it multiple times, and I was like, dude, Jen doesn't even know me. And she said this. And so I went up to her afterwards, and she, before I even said a word, she's like, you're the only person I said that to.
Wow.
I'm like, oh, dang, I guess I'm coming to ministry school. So I just kind of started preparing my heart and soul for that. And one night I was woken up, and I heard the Lord actually like as if he was in the room. I actually like woke up to look to see if my roommates were still, like, if they heard it too. But the Lord said, you can either be in a revival or you can start a revival. And I'll never forget that, because that, like, I was like, what in the world does that even mean? But it was just so powerful that, you know, it really stuck with me, and still is. So, so I went home and decided that, you know, I was going to come back from ministry school and starting to sell some stuff and raise money and get the, you know, get the, support letters and all that, sent out. And for whatever reason, it just hit like a brick wall of laziness. Like, literally, I mean, I wrote all of my, there's probably 100 support letters. I wrote them all, labeled them, addressed them, and I literally had them in the mailbox. And then I pulled them out and was like, I'll do it tomorrow. It's like, I don't really feel like doing it right now, you know? And my brother was going to buy my car in exchange for a one-way ticket. And so he was like literally ready to hit confirm on the purchase on, like, you know, Southwest or something. And he was like, hey, you know, just make sure this looks good. And I was like, you know what, you know, let's just do this another day. Like, this is too much of a hassle, you know?
Yeah.
So for whatever reason, it's just like, you know, I was holding myself back. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, one of my leader, like my worship leader, came up to me, who had initially was like, dude, you got to go. He came up to me and put his hands on my shoulders and said, I don't know, I think you should stay. I'm like, what? And he's like, I can't tell you why. I don't know. I mean, I really want you to go, but there's just something in me that's just saying that you should stay. So I was like, all right, I'm going to stay. So I just knew that there was something in my spirit that was going on that was just telling me that I should stay and, you know, not go to ministry school, which would probably, you know, knowing, like, I mean, not to like toot my own horn or, you know, project the future, but, you know, knowing how good like Matt was and how Michael Pope and even John Paul, like those guys, John Paul wasn't even a drummer and he ended up like touring with like Jeremy Riddle and stuff like that. And I was like, dude, I could have been that, you know, I could have done that, but, or I would have had an opportunity to do, and that would have been like a dream of mine. Right. But I knew something, the Lord was doing something different. And funny enough, like, you know, I started thinking about all the reasons why I didn't go or why I wanted to go to ministry school. And it was like, you know, well, you know, I love that the homework would have been to read the entire Bible, or, you know, read all these books that I've been wanting to read. That would have been my homework. And I remember just like thinking about that. And I was working in a sandwich shop, and I was I was under the sinks, like scrubbing the scrum off of, you know, the buildup on the walls, and you know, it smelled and all that stuff. And the Lord spoke to me in that moment, was like, you're at ministry school. This is ministry school, you know? And so I realized that it, being faithful and being a servant, scrubbing the floors or playing the drums at my home church, is me being in ministry school, you know, me being faithful to my life and my job and my school and my finances and everything that I was focused on at that time. That's, you know, and you know, me growing in stature in that moment, that's ministry school. And so that's where I was placed, is Detroit, Michigan. I don't know if I'll ever leave, but
wow.
Long story is, that's kind of how I got into drums and how I realized like worship drumming is more than just, you know, music for me, or it's just a pastime. It's, you know, it's actually like a life, and it's actually a ministry, and, you know, it's my passion. So yeah, so I knew that my calling is in worship, as a worship drummer, but I also know that probably doesn't look like, you know, necessarily being on stage and playing, but, you know, it could be something different within that context, or something totally outside of that context, but that was something that was a huge experience that had I not had any of that, I probably would not be playing drums right now.
Wow. So how long have you been playing drums?
I've been playing since I was, I think, 9 years old. So
Wow.
I'm 28 now. So I don't know math, but
I'm bad on the spot.
and you know, it's kind of like, I kind of feel like when people ask that, it's like, I mean, that's a good question, but I'm like, man, so I don't know. Is that 19 years? That
Yeah,
doesn't make
19,
sense.
19.
Dude, okay, I don't know. I'll cut it back a couple years, 15 years, because I don't know. Like, I don't feel like I've actually played 19 years, or someone who's played 3 years could probably outdrum me, no problem. So, anyway.
Okay, so you've been playing drums and you shared with us kind of your beginnings and then playing in church. But since we're talking about Dream Trigger and how you're developing a product, can you just bridge that gap for us of from just playing to deciding, oh, hey, I see something missing in the technology aspect, and what led you to start developing this product called Dream Trigger?
I hear stories of people who've invented stuff, and I think the common thread that I hear a lot is that their invention started with a need, with something that they needed themselves. And so for me, I was always really fascinated with this, hybrid drumming, putting triggers on drums, but I was super intimidated by technology. I grew up with when dial-up was still a thing, and Microsoft 98, and so it wasn't easy by any means. And so I was like, yeah, I'm staying as far away from technology as possible, but I still love the idea of what it could do. And all that, I guess, leads to just like the fact that as a church drummer, I wanted to be versatile, and but I didn't want to have more than I needed in terms of drums. Like, I didn't want to have. I love, the standard that you hear now or see now is like the standard, like, three piece, four piece kit. That's pretty much what people are using, and that's really what I wanted to stick with. But the Roland SPD-S, the first one, is what I ended up getting used on Craigslist. And it had a cracked screen because it came from a guy who played metal. So I was like, well, I'll pay 250 $250 for this, or whatever I paid for it. I mean, it was half cracked, so I could still see stuff. But I remember using it, and while I was playing it, I hit a pad, and it did like some samba beat or something in the middle of like this like worship moment. And I lost it. I mean, I was like freaking out. I unplugged the thing, and I was like, I can't trust this thing, And so, I went home and looked up like things that I could probably do to make it better, be it mods or anything like that. And I didn't really know what I was looking at, but I was like, there's got to be something. Like, what's the better quality version of this, and there wasn't anything. And so I just started going down this path of, okay, I need a tool that can allow me to be versatile, allow me to be portable, something that doesn't take me an hour to set up, something that I can be flexible in the moment, so like loops and tracks weren't really a thing that I could do. They weren't really a thing at the time anyway, but so I needed to be able to move around and within a song quite a bit, but also have a lot of dynamic. And so, triggers are cool, but triggers, and we'll talk about this more, but triggers are the same sound, soft or loud, so if you're doing a 2-4 boot groove, you got ghost notes, you're hearing the same sound in those ghost notes, but they're just quieter, and so like a hand clap, I don't want hand claps on my ghost notes. And so they're just really, 2D, if you will. They don't allow for a lot of dynamic. So the development of what is now Dream Trigger started with that need of, okay, I need a dynamic tool that is simple, robust, that doesn't take me too long to set up, that I can rely on. I want pads, but I don't want too many. I don't need 9 pads. I want one or two. If so, for Ableton, I can move I can, you know, advance the scene and stuff like that if I needed to. So, so it was just like this dream, no pun intended, but just like, okay, if I could actually build an instrument, if I could have something, it would be this. And there wasn't anything like that. And so, kind of the rest is history now.
Wow.
Yeah.
And let's get into a little bit of the entrepreneurial startup kind of idea. I'm sure there are some listeners that maybe one day you want to develop your own product or start up your own little business or whatever it might be. So, Josh, can you talk to us about the process now? So, you have an idea. What do you do next?
Right.
I'm asking as if, and I know nothing about the process, which is good. So I'm sure there are others out there
Sure.
who want to know this kind of stuff. So how does the process start? What does it look like?
So I guess I should preface that this was the first time for me I've ever really, well, okay, so I've always wanted to start businesses, and I started a recording studio that didn't go anywhere, which is fine. But always, wanted to start an app company and things like that. Every time I started something, I got further and further. And this is the furthest I've come. So I'm not, an expert by any means, and I've made tons of mistakes. But since you're asking, okay. So for me, it started off that, I wasn't going to get involved with anything that I didn't know anything about. So, I it's that just meant like a lot of researching, a lot of Googling. You'd be surprised, and just rephrasing some of the things you Google, you'll find something different. I Google Images is just like the best thing ever for me, 'cause so I could just type in anything, and I could just go literally until Google's like, I don't got any more images. You just keep looking for anything that has anything to do with what you're doing, and most of the time you'll find something that takes you to a blog or, something that someone's done. But, just researching it, and really just, hey, is my idea a thing that can actually happen? Or is it a thing that someone has done before? Because you don't want to go spend a bunch of money and time on something that, someone's already done. So that was for me. I did research. But I guess the other thing is, and you could probably link it back to the being faithful. Is I'm married, now I have a kid, but at the time I didn't. But it's being faithful to my time with my wife, and with I was working a full-time job and still actively involved at church and all that. So whatever the business I was going to start, it couldn't take over my life like overnight. Like I had to be able to like manage my time where I can add this new dimension of time into my life and have it not pull away from even just mowing the lawn and doing the stuff around the house. Like it couldn't do that. And so being faithful to that really helped me get my wife on board, where she saw that I was like, all right, this is not a distraction for you. And I can see that even after a month or two that you're still really passionate about it. So like she was cool hearing stories about it or me talking about the things that I'm learning. I don't, I kind of forget what your question is now, but
Oh, it's
how do I
just
start?
like the process of starting all of this.
So after researching, you really just want to, get experts on it. And so for me, the church sound guy, who I think everyone turns to, but the church sound guy, I was like, hey man, you got to know something about technology. And he's a tinkerer, so he's like, oh dude, I'll talk circuit boards with you all day. So we met for pancakes and coffee a couple times, once a month for I would say like 6 months, and we just talked gear, like what could we what this idea, Dream Trigger. It was actually a different product at the time, but it was all surrounding Dream Trigger. And getting someone who knows more than you involved or talking about it. Because I mean, I didn't know anything about circuit boards. I didn't know anything about code or, algorithms or anything like that, which is all stuff we're dealing with now. And so that was really helpful. I guess getting an outside opinion outside of, me and my at that, he became my business partner. So we hired a firm. Oh, I guess the next thing is being willing to throw your own dollars at something, knowing that you know, so for me, it was the process was that I had to be able to, you know, put some money behind it if I really believed in it. And so my wife and I are huge budgeters with our finances. And so I asked for a budget and, you know, it got like $5-$10 a month or something in there. But I was able to, you know, go get, you know, do research and, you know, make things happen and buy, I think I bought a domain or something at that, like that, at that time. I think I'd saved up enough money. But at one point we were like, my wife and I were like, we're going to do this. Or, you know, we're going to do this. And like, yeah, we really believe we're going to do it. Okay. So we pulled 10 grand out, you know, of our savings and we threw it into the business account. And that was like a huge leap of faith, but it was like, all right, well, you know, Lord, you're doing something in us. And if we're not willing to throw down our own finances, the money that you gave us to begin with, then, you know, then we're not willing to do this at all. So, that really propelled our company forward. Just, you know, 10 grand is long gone, but, you know, it helped develop a lot of the things that we have now. So that was all part of the process, is just being comfortable with managing my time and managing, you know, my resources, and then being willing to take a risk and actually work to make sure that my wife and the people that are going to be my supporters for the rest of this, for the rest of my life are totally in on this. Because, you know, my wife, like, she talks about it. She's like, I'm an owner. She's like, I'm an owner of the company.
It's yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, I gotta make sure she's cool with whatever happens, you know? So, wow. That was part of the process.
I think that's huge. This whole idea of, well, especially if you're married, getting your spousal support on it, mm-hmm. especially mm-hmm. when we talk about 10 grand and all that stuff. And so guys, if you're going to buy anything and you're married, like a new drum kit or one day a Dream Trigger, make sure you have your wife's permission.
Yeah. There's actually going to be a, you know, I acknowledge this, click here, you acknowledge that you've spoken with your wife about it kind of button.
Oh, that's hilarious. And so in developing Dream Trigger, how long ago did this process start for you?
Over 2.5 years ago.
Wow.
So it was about 6 months before I got married, which I got married in a couple years ago. 2014.
Cool, man. So it's 2.5 years. From what I can tell, you're pretty close to launching a finished product. Were there any obstacles that you've had to overcome since you've been on this venture?
Oh, yeah. So we were going to go, we knew that we wanted to build a drum trigger that housed everything, you know, memory and power, and we wanted to put pads on the top of it, but we didn't know that we were going to want to go this whole contactless sensor route. So we were going to use, so a traditional trigger uses a piezo, and it's a transducer that sits on the drum and it detects the vibration. And I mean, it's reliable technology, but it's super old and there's better things out there. You know, just looking at the patents that were there, we just got really scared that, like, we were going to develop this thing and then, you know, Roland or, Yamaha or any of these other guys that have drum triggers, they were just going to shut us down. And so I was like, I don't, you know, I hate patents to be honest, like we have one that we'll probably end up getting, but, it's just a thing that I don't want to have to worry about. Right.
Yeah.
But I was like, okay, I don't want to ever get close to anyone else's patents. So, you know, let's totally go the opposite direction. Instead of contact, let's do contactless. And, you know, what is that? I uttered to my partner, I said, is lasers a thing? You know, like, is that something that I can use? And he's like, dude, totally. So it just went down this journey of finding out, like, what kind of sensor is there out there. And that was a huge thing that we had to overcome, because that took several months to find a sensor, you know, that wasn't $800,
wow,
you know, for one unit. We had to make sure that it was extremely reliable and robust and also affordable. You know, it had to be, you know, like less than $5, be able to do, you know, be able to have a measure hertz, a very high level of hertz. Like, we're talking like 8,000 hertz, you know, something like that.
Wow. Any other obstacles?
I mean, there's, you know, there's
Like, so in this, there's like a circuit board, I would assume.
there's a circuit board. Yep.
So then I know nothing
No,
about
you're good. It's
the
a circuit board.
underside.
Yeah.
And so, like, to me, I have no idea. Like, how does a guy like you get the knowledge necessary to know this is what it needs? So you built a team, I'm assuming, around you to help you with all this stuff.
Yeah, so so we ended up closing in on a couple investments, just people, you know, more friends and family, and that helped us get the capital that we needed to move forward on things. And so, you know, we had talked to a company who develops like high-end circuitry, and they quoted us like something like $80,000 or something like this to finish it out. And I was like, dude,
Wow.
there's no way. I mean, but you know, for a drum product, that's, or for an electronic product, that's nothing, right?
Yeah.
But but for us, that's huge. That's a lot of money. And so I was like, dude, I can't. And it was like a 9 month turn on that, you know, so I wasn't going to see anything for 9 months. And I'm like, I need this to be cheaper. I need you to be done faster, you know. So we went the independent contractor route. And so that's, there's pros and cons to it, but the pro for us was that we paid about half as much for someone to develop what we have now, and they did it in, well, let's see, April, May, June. So they basically finished in like 3 months
Wow.
from getting started to like giving us a prototype. So it, you know, again, it's a prototype, and I think that would lead to my next challenge was like. Okay, so we recently went down to Nashville to film a part
Yeah,
of our Kickstarter.
tell us about
Yeah.
that because I saw some pictures on Instagram.
Yeah. And so my business partner, again, the more techie guy, he actually he does a lot of troubleshooting and stuff like that. So his brain is just wired to figure out like what's wrong, and my brain is wired to like, I don't ever want to know that there's technology involved. Like I just want, like, I don't care if it's magic that makes this computer work. I just want it to work flawlessly. You know, that's the way my brain works. And so, and if there's something going wrong, I kind of like get like, what's, you know, I start kind of freaking out internally. So my business partner wasn't able to come. And so we went down with a unit that was like, okay, you know, it had some latency. It's a prototype.
Right.
We met with Jacob Arnold, who's a great guy, you know, drums for Matt Redman, also does stuff for Elevation. I mean, this guy has just got a heart of gold, and it was just really hard. It was an over something I had to overcome, even just emotionally and spiritually, was like to basically look him in the eye and be like, this thing doesn't work as well as I thought it would, you know?
Wow.
And I mean, I think it was hard for him to be like, you know, I don't know how much I can talk about this because it doesn't work well, you know. He goes, I love the vision. I love where you're going with it. I love like that this is what you're pursuing. And you know, I've never done a Kickstarter either, and I went down with our we have an agency that we hired to do help us manage our Kickstarter. And he's like, well, no, your Kickstarter, your the whole purpose is that, you know, you have a prototype and that you believe in what we're pursuing. Not necessarily you've built a perfect product that has zero flaws in it, you know?
Right,
And
absolutely.
both Jacob and I were like, oh, right, duh. Like, okay. So then it was a lot better. You know, Jacob was like, yeah, like this is great, cool. Like I need a tool like this. If I had a tool like this, you know, I could do these things and blah, blah, blah. So you talked about all that kind of stuff. But it felt like a punch to the gut for me. 'Cause I'm like, it's literally like, people are talking about my, you know, I just had a son, right? It's like literally people are talking about how dumb he is or how ugly he is right in front of my face and being like, oh, it's okay though. He'll get cuter, you know. It's like, oh, you know, like I want it to be perfect right now. And that was just an emotional roller coaster for me.
Wow.
And we met with a couple other drummers down there, and they all believed in what we were doing, but it's just in the moment it didn't work well. And funny enough, I come up and like that weekend I came up, my partner looked at it and he was like, oh dude, and he like basically hit a button in the code and it was like, and then it worked awesome. And I was like, come on.
Oh man.
If I had you down there, dude, I would have been able to, you know, this would have been cool, you know, but you know, it's just what it is. So I still stay in touch with those guys and I've given them videos and talked to them about it and just said, hey man, I wanna redeem myself. So that was a huge, you know.
Yeah.
When you're developing something, everything about it becomes who you are. And so whenever someone criticizes it, it's just, you have a choice. Like, do I get emotional about this, or do I take it like a man and just, you know, buckle down and try to fix it? Wow. Or do I not, you know, do I just stand my ground and say, this is what it is, you know?
Wow. So good. That's really insightful, even in terms of, those who want to develop a product in the future. Thanks for being transparent with us. Yeah. on those very real and close to the heart things. Yeah. I think I have two more questions for you.
Cool.
One is, how can Dream Trigger enhance what we do as worship drummers? Mm-hmm. And then number two, how can we as worship drummers help you? Because you did mention Kickstarter, so how can mm-hmm. we help you as a community get behind Dream Trigger to see this thing come to a reality and yeah. in our hands or in our churches?
Well, we designed it with the worship drummer in mind, you know, that it needed to be something that was simple enough that, you know, we've all had those moments where something goes wrong in the moment, you know? And so we didn't want to have a bunch of buttons on this thing to have to futz around with in that moment. So we basically put two buttons or three buttons on there that function kind of like your iPhone, you know, very simple, few buttons that do a lot of things. So that's number one, is that it's just very easy to use. You could pull it out of the box and start working it right away. So for a lot of drummers that I know, worship drummers, they are, and I'm, you know, I'm one of them, right? I'm a Neanderthal. Like, I just want to hit the drums, you know, like, you know, technology, whatever, you know, just let me hit the drums.
Yeah.
So this Dream Trigger allows for those people like that and like me to get into using triggers in it and using loops or tracks, things that I would normally never have touched. But also it's a product for drummers who are pretty advanced as far as, you know, Ableton goes and already using Roland's and stuff like that, or triggers even nowadays. Where it's like, you know, again, pulling up Jacob Arnold, he was like, dude, I'm traveling and I have to program a show and I can't do that on my Roland. I have to do it on my laptop and then I have to sync it all up and everything. You know, it just makes it so much easier when I have something I can just pull out of my backpack. Wow. Even from a travel perspective, and not all drummers are traveling, but, you know, he's like, I have to pick what gear I bring, you know, when I go across the country, and it's mostly cymbals and a snare drum. You know, that's pretty much what I get to bring on a flight. So he can't bring a hybrid setup. So it helps the worship drummer who is traveling or even just, you know, going from two different churches, have something that they can immediately change the way that they play right then and there and pull it out of the stick bag. Again, I mentioned it earlier, but like the big feature for us is the fact that you can have different samples depending on the velocity that you hit it at. So at a soft volume or at a hard, you know, a hard hit can be a tambourine or a hand clap when you're, you know, hitting it on the tune, the four. And we're also looking at developing different functions where you can actually have it just play on the four depending on where you're at. So there'd be like an internal clock in the minute, and you can play it, you know, program it where it only will do it on the four if you hit it. You know, and so things like that, you know, like where you can't get that with a standard trigger nowadays without a lot of processing and a lot of computer power.
So cool. And so the flip question of that is, how can we as a worship drummer community get behind you and Dream Trigger?
Yeah. Well, I, you know, I guess, you know, you always hear people say like, okay, you know, like me or follow me or, you know, sign up for, you know, updates. And, you know, that's what I would ask for, right? But at the end of the day, what I want those to lead to is just the people to back me on Kickstarter, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what I think the, you know, this is what I'm doing. This is what my life is going to be now. And, you know, this the worship community is my community, and so
nice.
You know, I need you guys to back me, and you know, if that may not be a dream trigger, you know, but we have other things, other ways that you could help spread the word. But we haven't launched a date yet, because with Kickstarter, you don't ever really want to go into it without already a kind of a big following. So, you know, we're right now kind of in a marketing, you know, phase where we're just trying to get our Facebook likes up. We're trying to get our Instagram follows up and our signups up.
Cool.
To you know, to be able to launch Kickstarter, and actually we want to be able to fund within like the first 24-48 hours is kind of a goal.
Nice.
Which is actually really achievable. I mean, it's like I think like 250 units gets us to our goal. And so
awesome.
So yeah, that's what we're looking for. You know, I think that Dream Trigger, actually I'll say that again, I know that Dream Trigger is going to be a product that you know, every drummer should have in their stick bag. And we're committed to building it and making it an advanced, simple product for everyone who can get their hands on it. And so, you know, we ask for people to back us who believe in our vision.
That's so cool. Well, I can't speak for the whole community, but I can speak for myself that I'm definitely behind what you're doing. And that's one of the reasons why we're doing this podcast, is because I wanted to dig beyond just the name of the product and figure out for myself and for those who care to listen to it, what it is exactly that you're doing. So what we'll do is, in the show notes, we'll post the links to Instagram, Facebook, and also to the website, because that's where they can subscribe for the newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
And Dream Trigger, can you give us the proper spelling?
Yeah, so it is pronounced dream, like, you know, when you're sleeping. Dream, DREMTRIGGER.
And the E has that special line on top of it.
It's got a macron, which elongates the E sound.
Macron.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect. Well, Josh, thanks so much for allowing me to pick your brain. I'm excited to see this product and to hold it in my hand. And
oh, dude, I can't wait.
And to hit it, too.
Yeah, I can't wait to get you one.
Awesome. So thanks so much for sitting in and sharing with us.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, there you have it, my interview with Josh Fifelski from Dream Trigger. And I hope that my conversation with him has left you intrigued, that it has sparked your interest. Josh didn't pay me to do this interview and have this airtime with our worship drummer community. Josh is a part of the worship drumming community, and it was my interest in what he's doing that was the motivation. And how I love to look at it is that it's not what he wants from us, but what he wants for us. And I think that changes everything. And again, as part of the Worship Drumming community, Josh wants this product for himself just as much as he wants us to have it in our churches and in our playing environments. So again, visit the show notes. You can head to worshipdrummer.com/podcast and you'll see it's episode 10. Click the link. And in the show notes, we'll post the link to Dream Trigger on Instagram, as well as their website, where you can sign up for their newsletter and stay informed and be up to date, and find out also when their Kickstarter campaign launches. And again, hope that you like the product, that you're interested, and if you are, back it on Kickstarter. Let's see this thing come to pass. And how cool would it be as the Worship Drummer family to endorse and back up something that will directly impact our ability to use technology in worship. I think it's fantastic. It's a great opportunity. And I hope you enjoyed this interview with Josh Fifelski from Dream Trigger. Again, I'm John Manna for the Worship Drummer podcast. And I pray that you would always remember to put the heart before beat.